reading to you from Revelation, the first chapter and the 17th verse. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and forever. And I hold the keys of death and of Hades." Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. Well, folks, I tell you, there's nothing in this whole world. I wished every pastor in America would go down and hold a couple of services in the federal and state penitentiary. I will guarantee it will change their lives. We see people saved at every service, 1, 2, 3, 10, 15, sometimes as high as 40. They don't see that in churches anymore. And I don't know why, unless the people just don't care. And maybe the pastor doesn't care. He might talk it. But you got to be more than talk. You got to walk your talk. Well, listen, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. Won't you just kick off your slippers and put all your troubles in a little kit bag and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and with the 17th verse. "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands. Submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water, to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Love their wives as their own bodies. It is his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. For as we are members of his body, for this reason a man should leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of us also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." We've labeled this the mature Christian. Now, maturity is a good word, and youth is good, but maturity is much better. See, maturity in nature, like, for instance, a rose in full bloom. Nothing is more beautiful than a rose that's in full bloom. Or a nice watermelon when red and juicy. A full-grown tree offering shade and beauty. See, a mature Christian has grown up in the faith. Why? First of all, because he has been born again by faith in Jesus. Now you say, "Cecil, now wait a minute. I don't understand that. I belong to the First Baptist Church or the First Methodist or Presbyterian or whatever. And surely that's enough to get me into heaven." Oh, beloved, you're in for a terrible shock. Nowhere in this whole Bible does it tell you that joining a church will get you into heaven. However, he does say, Jesus said this, "If you repent of your sins and you call upon me and be born again," he said, "I'll let you go to heaven." That's the only thing that you need to get into heaven. Not works, not money, not good looks, not baptism, not taking of the Lord's Supper, but trusting Jesus as Savior. Now, if you've not done that, I want you to listen further on tonight, because I'm going to give an invitation, like I do every service, for you to put your trust in Jesus. Oh, my friends, this could be the greatest day of your life. Now, I taught in the Scriptures, and were able to teach, matured through suffering, and able to comfort, recognizing mature Christians. Friends, listen to me. You say, Cecil, do you know what? I've got breast cancer. Okay. Now, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to sit on the pity pot? Woe is me. Why did this have to happen to me? I've tried to live a good life, Lord. Why would you do that to me? Because somewhere down the line, you're going to be able to comfort somebody else who has a cancer. I know I've had cancer. And I know at first it was a shock. I was dumbfounded. I couldn't believe it. I've had two heart attacks. I've had COPD. I've got sugar diabetes. Come on, one more? Yep. Through that cancer operation, I've been able to lead people to Christ. I've been able to help comfort people who are going through it. Friends, you know, there's no reason to die anymore of cancer. Why not? Well, because there's so many cures out there. Oh, I know they're flim-flam and they're fish oil men and all this stuff, but there are cures out there. You've just got to look for them. Well, a mature Christian's wisdom, we find in verse 17, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Friends, listen to me. Listen to me. I know people say, well, you know, the Bible says Jesus turned water into wine. I don't care how it turned into wine. I'm telling you, it says that we're not to drink the junk. You say, well, it says you're supposed to drink a little bit for your stomach's sake. That's because they had water problems. Oh, terrible water problems, and people had stomach problems. Hey, you ever been to Mexico? I spent 2 weeks down in Acapulco, and I'll tell you, you don't drink that water down there, because if you do, you got problems, big problems. Wherefore, be ye not unwise. See, the world is interested in accumulating knowledge. Oh, my friends, education is everything. That's what even our president, and that's all our congressmen, they want to make loans to you and all that. But anyway, not, you know, education isn't everything. You know what? Let's supposing everybody had a doctor's degree. Who'd put a roof on your house? Who'd fix the plumbing in your house? Who'd put a door or a screen door in your house if everybody's educated and good and lower themselves? Oh, I'm glad I was a roofer. Oh, friends, I love that trade. Now I'm paying for it with my knees, sure enough. But it took good care of me and my family. Oh, I'm telling you, I thank God and I hope and pray. I would rather my grandchildren, I got a lot of them, would get an education in a trade of some sort rather than book education. Now, the Bible says that ever learning, but missing the truth, 2 Timothy 3:7, always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth. Jehovah Witness friend of mine, Mormon friend of mine, read the book. Look in the last page of Revelation. Don't you add to this book and don't you take away from it. It's Jesus and Jesus only. Well, the mature Christian is always seeking wisdom. Wise ones knows what to do with knowledge. And mature Christians know the source of wisdom. And I read in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. When I joined my first church in Seattle, Washington, there was a man in that church that I looked up to. My, I just thought he was the most spiritual man in the whole world. One day he came to me and said, Cecil, you're getting a little older in the Lord. I think I can tell you this. Our preacher's been lying to us. And you talk about shocked. You talk about, yes, I was shocked. I said, what do you mean he's lying to us? Well, he tells us that you can't lose your salvation after you're saved. Man, I said, you mean you can be saved and be lost? Oh, yes, sirree, you sure can. I know a lot of denominations that teach that, and you know what? Those people haven't got enough sense to pour water out of a boot. If you don't believe God's word, you'd be just like Eve. She got herself in a lot of trouble, and we're suffering for Eve's sin in the garden. Well, so this particular Sunday, I went to church with a troubled heart, thinking, well, my pastor lied to me. He sure did. And that morning, he got up and he said, you know, friends, I went to Southwestern Seminary, and we had some of the best seminary teachers in the world. But he said, you know what? You know who the best teacher in the whole world is? God's Holy Spirit. If you want to know something, you ask him. Boy, I couldn't wait to get home that day. And I went into the Word of God, and I began to study, and I asked the Holy Spirit to reveal this truth to me. Could we lose it, or can we have it for all eternity? Every page I read, that eternal security jumped up and kissed me. Friends, if you don't know whether you're saved or not, well, look here. You saved, you mean tell me, Cecil, you can be saved and you might make a mistake or you sin and you can still go to heaven. That's right. Sure enough, that's right. Now you say, well, wait a minute. Well, let me tell you, let's talk about David. David did a terrible thing, don't you think? He didn't. He committed adultery. And then he had her husband killed to cover his sin. But the day come in David's life when he was so miserable, so unhappy because of what he'd done. And finally he cried out to God to forgive him, and God did forgive him. So if you do sin, and you will sin, the thing is to confess it, turn from it. And my Bible said God will forgive all our sins. Now, mature Christians find the will of God and do it. That's what you hear me say. The smartest people in the whole world are Christians who find the divine will of God in their lives. You say, well, you preachers, you have your calling. Yes. And if you're born again, beloved, you have a calling too in your life. And best you get about it. Because you're going to stand before the Lord and say, Lord, I was told if I went to church and gave him a tithe and studied the Bible and prayed at the table, that'd be enough. Oh, beloved, if you're churchianity, do you have churchianity or do you have Christianity? Now, they go together. God wants you to love his church, but he wants you to love him first. Well, you understand the will of God, you're a smart man. And do you seek the will of God each day? Is doing the will of God your delight? Now you say, well, Cecil, boy, I don't know. Well, yeah, it is. And I don't know. I'm kind of mixed up. Well, listen to this. A mature Christian's worship is found in verse 18 and 20. He said that we are to speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, and always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I told you years ago, I wanted to play the organ so bad. I played the piano, but I never took a music lesson in my life. It was a gift from God, and I don't deny that. But you know, I wanted to play the organ, so after I got saved, I went to an organ company and I sat down. I said, could I play that organ? Sure. I sat down and I started playing. All I could play is What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And I want you to know right then and there, I prayed and I said, oh God, if you'll teach me how to play that organ, I'll play for you anytime you want me to. I go in there in my living room and I'll get on that big organ and I'll just play songs after songs, praising the Lord. Because he reached down in a gutter and got this old drunk straightened out and saved his soul and then called him to go out and tell others about him. Well, worship should be both private and public. Now, the mature Christian is spiritual. He said, be filled with the Spirit. Not the flesh, but the Spirit. Now, friends, listen, that's a daily prayer. Lord, fill me with your blessed Holy Spirit. Lord, give me holy boldness. Father, give me souls for my hire. Help me be a soul winner for Jesus. That will change your life, and I'll guarantee you, friend, you'll be one happy Christian. It's not given to forms or ceremonies, heartfelt and spirit-directed. To mature Christians, worship is scriptural. Speaking to yourself in psalms, emotionally submit to the scriptures. Now, the mature Christian worship involves singing hymns, spiritual songs. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and she said that she woke up with this song on her heart, Victory in Jesus. Oh, my stars, what a beautiful song. I used to preach that, have that song sang every time I preach revival. Victory in Jesus. What will wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, we miss those old songs by these little ditties that they put on the ceiling and on the wall. They're not hymns. They're flesh songs. I don't like them. I like songs that tell you how to get to heaven, not how to jump up. And God is an awesome God, which he is. But then they go on to say a bunch of other things that I don't agree with. Music is a powerful expression of worship. Now, music is a part of worship of heaven. And I read in Revelations 5:9, and they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God, for every tribe and language and every people nation. And sang the songs of the Lord. Great and marvelous are your deeds. Lord God Almighty, just and true are your ways. King of the ages. Well, friends, listen. He said that we are to give thanks always. Friends, do you thank the Lord every morning? Hey, I want to tell you something. I've been having trouble sleeping lately, and I will not take sleeping pills. When I was in for surgery, they'd come in and wake me up at midnight and give me a sleeping pill. And I wouldn't take it, of course. But I not that I'm saying sleeping pills are bad, but I don't think you should do it. Anyway, I read somewhere, if I drank a glass of milk before I went to bed, it would help. Last night I drank a glass of milk and I slept like a baby. Now, if this is wrong, please let me know, because I'd like to know if I am wrong. But we're supposed to give thanks always, thanking God for all things in Romans 8:28-29. And we know that in all things God works for the good to those who love him. Did you get that? Those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those who God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. And then he said that the mature man, Christian, walk. And I read in verse 21, where are we at? Here we are. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Have you submitted your life to Christ? Let me ask, do you really love him? You know, we talk about our personal Savior. Now, let me ask you, if you would lose the keys to your car, what would you do? You'd moan and groan and get your wife or your husband and your kids looking for those dumb keys? When what you should do is just sit down, kneel, whatever you want to do, and say, Father, I've lost my keys. That's happened to me so many times in my life. I told you about I had this heart attack, and I was down. I got out of the hospital, and I was down at had to go down to Safeway. My wife was still a realtor, and so she was gone all day. So I went down, and it was a hot, nasty old hot day. And I went in to do my shopping, and I got out to the car, and I reached in my pocket. I did not have any keys. No, I didn't. And I thought, oh, my stars, in the morning, nobody can come get me. I can't sit out here in this hot sun. I have to have oxygen. I was almost panicky. Almost panicked. Not quite, but just about. So I said, Lord, I'm going to walk back in that store, and I need to find those keys. I retraced my steps. I went up this aisle, down that aisle, up this aisle, it's done. And I looked up on the cereal thing, on sitting on top of a box of cereal, was my keys hanging down over the edge. I thanked him, and I went out and got my car and went home. Friend, you say, oh, that was luck. There ain't no such thing as luck in the Lord's Word. It's divine purpose. He has a divine purpose for your life tonight. You say, Cecil, I get so tired. Well, it's true. If you've been born again, if you've repented of your sin, you are his child, and you are obligated to go into all the world and preach the gospel or to be witnesses or whatever you're supposed to do. Just read the book. Don't take my word for it. But we don't do that. No, we don't do that. We try another way. Guy asked me the other day, Cecil, is there more than one way into heaven? I said, I've not found it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to get to heaven, you got to come through Jesus. Now, and he says, excuse me, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. No, he won't cast you out. Sure won't. Well, he said that we're submitting yourself one to another. And Jesus is the perfect example. Philippians 2, 5, and 7. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but make himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. You know, he was divine, but he also was human. And he came into this world to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, if you're not a Christian, if you've been born again, he's looking at you. I'll tell you what, he's doing something else. This might get you. He's thumping on your heart, too. Oh, yes, he is. How do I know? Well, because the Bible tells me so. He's drawing you. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I shall draw all men unto me. And tonight he's drawing your heart. He's saying, Bill, Wilbur, Jim, Mary, whatever, I love you. And he's standing out with outstretched arms tonight, saying, come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden. Oh, beloved, he loves you tonight. You say, Cecil, why, if he loves me, why am I going through all these problems? Because he said you would. If you're a Christian, you're going to go through problems. You bet your dollar you're going to. You're going to have financial problems. You're going to have health problems. You're going to have a lot of problems. But the thing is, he promises that he'd go with us through it. That's right. You remember when the Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego was in that fiery furnace? There was four of them in there, and they only put three in. You remember when they threw old Daniel down the lion's den? You know what he did? He walked up, and he grabbed this old lion and pulled him up and said, sir, if you don't mind, I would like to lay on your mane tonight. I'm kind of tired. Old lion just cuddled him in there and let him sleep. Oh, Daniel slept so good. Why? Because he knew that God was with him. And that king wasn't sure of that. He hollered down there and said, oh, Daniel, is your God taking care of you? Sure he has taken care of me. God will take care of you. Listen to this. The Bible said submission even in the home. And I read in verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is a Savior. Now listen to this in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Listen, that's hard to understand. I understand. But the mature Christian, it represents Christ continually. Verse 25, it says right here, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Now, I said, nobody hates themselves, do they? Sure, they don't. Now, listen. how long has it been since you checked your growth? Or when was the last time you took inventory? Come on, when was it? How mature are you tonight? Oh, friend, have you surrendered to do the will of God? You might be listening tonight and you said, Cecil, I've never led a soul to Christ in my life. I've never even tried. I've never witnessed. Well, who are you going to stand before God? What are you going to take in there? Well, you're going to have to stand before him. You sure are. Well, friends, listen to me. If the Lord is tugging at your heart right now, would you bow your head at me right now and cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner? Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me for Jesus' sake. Amen. If you've done that, I want you to call 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not sit down and write to ask you for any money. Don't go. I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Now you give me a call, 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air now. All friends, give me a call. If you don't understand it, I'll do the best I can to explain it to you. I've been a Christian 55 years ago. 55 years ago, I gave my heart to Christ. And God kept me sober, too. Oh, praise his name. Well, anyway, give me a call, dear friends. I want to talk to you tonight, okay? Stars, I'm getting to be as long-winded as pastors. I try to watch the time, and sometimes I get over-exuberant. Oh, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. I just love to make our broadcast tapes. I love to tell you about Jesus, and I want you to pray for me and my wife as we go to prisons. And, you know, like I say, I'll soon be 85 years old. I hope the Lord gives me a few more years so I can get some more things done. Well, I tell you, friends, pray for your church, pray for your pastors, your deacons, and your Sunday school people. And until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.